This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Watson, and he goes down. No, he stays on his feet, throws on the run, touchdown! Unbelievable! Watson, a magician! You see it again. How does he stay on his feet?
Right there, it looked like he might have gotten kicked in the face when he broke out of that tackle.
Yeah, I was just kind of just trying to make a play and try to spin him off. And when I spent him, his leg kind of came up, and I'm not sure where it hit. It just hit my helmet. That's all I remember. And just kind of, his eye went shut, and just kind of was kind of seeing feral, kind of going to my right. I had to readjust my helmet, and then this eye was actually going close to it, so I kind of threw it blind.
That was James Lofton as part of the CBS broadcast, and then Deshaun Watson talking about the play that saved the day for your Houston Texans. And as Barry said, hopefully the league as a whole, but specifically the officials, learned a little something about the exclusive way Deshaun Watson is able to elude people. Not many other teams. I think maybe Jackson and Baltimore, but I don't know many quarterbacks that can do what Deshaun did. I thought he was dead to rights. I thought he was going down, just like obviously the play-by-play guy did there. But for him to make that play, his escapability is incredible. Then insult to injury, he gets the cleat in the face, and he's talking about the fact he barely, basically can't see or sees out of one eye, and still finds a way to get that ball and deliver a touchdown.
I feel like he may have hammed it up a little bit about not being able to see.
Interesting you say that.
At what? Why?
Because I think there's two instances. That one, and one you probably didn't see. Last night's game between the Packers and the Chiefs, where I think both quarterbacks fudged it a little bit in terms of what really went on.
Happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rodgers.
Rodgers, if you missed it. Zone.
I just threw.
Did you see the scramble?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tafoya, she's like, walk us through that play. Well, I scrambled and I saw him out of the corner of my eye. First I saw Jimmy and then I saw Jamal. But then when he goes back and showers and he goes to his press conference after the game, he's like, yeah, I just, you know, I was scrambling for my life and I threw it and it ended up in the right spot. Which I prefer to have him be honest about
right.
it. Just like Deshaun can say, you know what? Yeah, I got clean in the eye, but I could see out of one eye and I could see my guy.
Because he said I just threw it up where I thought he would be. I don't know that I believe that. I don't know if I'm buying that. It doesn't mean it wasn't a spectacular play.
Correct.
And it doesn't mean getting poked in the eye while running and falling and throwing a touchdown pass isn't still phenomenal. I'm just saying he might have embellished a little bit about not being able to see at all. Didn't necessarily, but you know, you get caught up in the moment and you say, okay, that's fine. I will say this, he got lucky a couple times too. There was a pick six that he threw that got dropped, and then he threw into triple coverage to Hopkins in the end zone where I thought, oh boy. Sometimes for all of the great plays, like he makes one-eyed, you know, falling down touchdown plays, he turns around and makes some plays where you're like, oh, come on, kid. What are you doing? Like, that's triple coverage in the end zone. You can't throw into that. That's how you end up being in the red zone and not getting any points. So I still love him to death, though. It's still my quarterback. And
Thank God he's amazing.
He's amazing.
Yes. And that's why I'm saying, look, I mean, we can, you know, tongue in cheek a little bit about the Bill O'Brien side of this, but for all the years of everything,
I
don't care. I'll own it. I own it, and I will completely own it. And the fact of the matter is, until he changes, I'm going to continue to own it because I'm going to be honest. But the fact of the matter is that this guy is special. And what he's been able to do, and you think about some of the limitations he's had to play through with the play calling, the coaching, whatever, and the resources around him. He just makes plays now, and he makes plays that not many quarterbacks can, and it's just fun to watch, and I think Houston should start to feel that, hey, it's a privilege, the fact that regardless win or lose or how this team does, make the playoffs or not, you get to watch this guy play every game.
Every time you see a stat go up, like when you say, oh, best completion percentage of any quarterback through their first 33 games, you're just like, wow, this. I feel like, and when I saw that, I thought, you know what? He's still, for all the accolades, for all the praise that gets heaped upon him, I don't know if it's because, boy, people will just go out of their way to on Patrick Mahomes. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just everywhere. I don't feel like that's the case with Deshaun Watson. He still gets plenty of recognition. But when you see some of the stuff that he's done through his first, you know, year, two sure. years, it's pretty special.
And on the flip side, if you're the Chicago Bears, a fan of the Chicago Bears, Eesh. Or a long time, you know, have any affiliation or affection for the Bears, you can't stand watching any highlight of Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson because your dumbass organization traded up into the top five so you could draft Mitch Trubisky. Mm. How'd that work out for you? How'd that look again yesterday? And oh, by the way, as kind of a side note, and I love Lewis Riddick, but Lewis Riddick, you should be already apologizing for the fact that you called him Maserati Mitch and said, basically, y'all just wait because he's going to have such a year this year and he is going to do so many things to take the Bears to the Super Bowl that it's going to make your head spin. No, Bears fans' heads spin are spinning because they want their coach gone. They have problems with a coach calling plays. And they really are looking at the other two quarterbacks they skipped over when they drafted Trubisky. They're going, what the hell did we do?
Speaking of calling plays, let's jump around a little bit.
All right.
Because you mentioned
there. Jump up and get down? I mean, you said let's jump around. Jump. Okay, go.
No,
yes!
You kiss my ass. Turn that off.
Fourth quarter in Madison. You. Let's go.
What's going on in Green Bay? Because it's seven. They're 7-1. Uh-huh. Aaron Rodgers is MVP of the league right now.
Yeah, he's getting there.
Yeah, he's
still Russell Wilson, I think.
Bah, I feel like with all the national media, too, just like they do with Mahomes. He's there. But I thought for sure that there was this issue between him and the head coach and the play calling, but it doesn't seem to be the case. Oh. Or does he just said, you know what, I'm just taking it over?
It's still there.
Is it? It doesn't appear that way at all.
One of the two things that happened last night.
Somebody has said, you know what, it's working, so I'm going to deal with it.
Well, that's one of the things. Who is it? One of the things they said on last night's telecast was LaFleur finally came out and said, look, in the final 2 minutes, I just turn it over to him because he's so good at knowing what to call and what tempo to go with. He goes, I actually feel like I'm not earning my money and doing my job because I just step back and let him do it. Which, when he came
that's
in,
smart,
because
though.
He's a young head coach, he wasn't willing to do that. Right. So that's progress. But also, and I know you guys didn't do this, and I don't suggest that you do. I do it because I was watching the Astros. But I recorded the game. When you go back and watch it,
oh God,
there is a portion of the fourth quarter when they're trying to run the clock out.
Yeah.
And you can read his lips clear as day. LaFleur on the headset goes, I'm not effing doing that. There's no effing way I'm doing that. You think I'm going to call that? And I'm like, I looked at the clock on the play clock. He still had like 22 seconds. I'm like, he's either telling Aaron, basically, you better not do that, and I'm not doing that. And then you can see that maybe, I don't know how it plays out. Or he's telling the coaches who made a bad suggestion.
I was going to say, it was probably the coaches because it's a one-way communication to Aaron Rodgers. So I doubt very seriously that Aaron had a suggestion. It had to have been a coach that got in his ear and said something.
I would, you know, that's what I was leaning towards. But still, if you watch it, it is quite the possibility because I think that Aaron relayed one way or another some of the plays he was going to call. But the other thing was, which is really weird, but they went into the huddle with 20 some seconds late in that game when they were trying to run it out, and again they showed LaFleur and he goes, he's going to call a timeout here. There's just no way this is going to happen. And I'm watching, did I read his lips right? And they go to the huddle, and I'm like, 21, 20. They got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they're still in there. And then all of a sudden, they get out late, and I'm like, oh, my God. How the hell did he know that? And sure enough, with about 3 seconds on the clock, Rodgers turns to the official and calls timeout. And I'm like, if you knew that, why would you not prevent that and waste one of your timeouts? But it's like, I think for one, they're on the same, I mean, they're on the same page and a lot, they know the plays, they know what, but I still don't think that they're completely there.
Okay. Well, I was just curious because yeah. Things seem to be clicking. Somebody texted the show and said, with Watt out, how many draft picks will it take to get Clowney back?
We know who's everybody, you know who everybody's Boy, suggesting,
how
right?
bad is that?
That's Denver's hard, that so bad, so and we bad. Talked about this before it happened, but now with the complete implosion of Joe Flacco absolutely crapping on his coaching staff for play calling and crapping on the guys that made it possible for him to be here. He's now out, by the way, next week with a neck injury.
Yeah, because he heard it looking so fast for a way to jump out of that
yep.
moving, flaming bus in Denver.
But now they're suggesting that not only Chris Harris Jr., who we've talked about, is available, but they're saying that, and again, you have to have the assets to go get him.
If you everybody, say
I've
Von
seen
Miller,
tweets all over talking about Von Miller. It's like Von Miller and Patrick Peterson are completely off the table because you don't have even the opening bid to get in on that.
Well, unless you trade J.J. Watt, and who, why would you want him? He's hurt.
And he's injured all the time.
Yeah, he can't play.
Yeah.
No, it's not happening. There's no – I don't see a way you're going to make any significant impact or addition to this team. You don't have the assets. Cody and I kind of got into it – not got into it, but we were discussing it on Twitter because I was like, yeah, duh, they don't have any assets to make a trade. He goes, well, you could trade player for player. Who would you trade away and what would you get back? Like, who would you target, right? Like, you're not trading any of your stars. You're not trading Hopkins, Watson, J.J. Watt. You're not trading Carlos Hyde. I mean, you're not trading any of the guys that you invested anything in. You're not trading any draft picks. You're certainly not trading anybody on the linebacking core. No one wants your offensive line. Like, really, what would you trade? Like, a Justin Reed. Is that what you would do?
I thought if he did something stupid enough to let Justin Reed go.
Yeah, because early on, it was weird. That first drive, the Raiders, as well as they run the ball, four pass plays in a row, two of them broken up by a linebacker and a safety. I was like, well, that tells you everything you need to know about this Texans secondary, is that they're having to have linebackers and safeties make most of the plays. But yeah, I just don't see any way. This they put their cards on the table. This is the lineup that they feel like they're going to try to win with. And the fact of the matter is, sometimes injuries happen and you can't help that. I don't blame Bill O'Brien for the injuries, but this is what happens when you trade all your draft picks for the help to fill the holes that you felt you need.
Yeah.
Look, and it's not like he went and got, you know, oh, well, let's get another linebacker. No, he added secondary, offensive line. He added some depth to the receiving core. All good moves, all smart. In the sense of trying to plug holes where you see them, you can't predict.
It's the hidden variable, right? It's like the Nationals and Scherzer going out. You can make all the right moves to get them into a position to win,
right?
And then you can't predict if someone gets injured.
That's the thing. You know that long term Clowney's not going to be a part of this organization, so you do the best you can to get something for him. And whether you think that they undervalued or didn't get enough, you still can't predict that J.J. Watt's also going to get hurt. So it's not it's not a blame. It's bad luck is what it is.
You know, it's good luck. The fact that if you're going trick-or-treating and you're an adult and, you know, the weather might be bad on Thursday night, there's a place to go that's going to be oh so good, and it's Twin Peaks. It's the same spot that you would go to get all the environment that you want to be in when you're watching sports, only, you know, the Twin Peaks girls are going to be all dressed up. They're going to look fantastic, and it's just going to be another reason why you want to get out of the house and go to a Twin Peaks and spend Thursday night with them, because there's all kinds of trick-or-treating, but it's all treats. Because aside from the girls being there to wait on you and take care of you, there's screens all over the place. It's a clean environment. It's safe. It's secure. And the food and beverages are top-notch, better than anywhere you're going to find anywhere else. It's made from scratch appetizers and main courses. It's the fact that the draft beer is ice cold, always around 29 degrees. And it's the fact that they have every sports package so you can watch every game. If you want to watch Thursday night football and then some college football, some NBA, you can set it all up and watch them all right in front of you wherever you're sitting in one of the five Houston area Twin Peaks locations. I keep telling you about this, guys. If you're going to get out of the house, it's the only place to go, because it's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Talking a little football, Texans and otherwise, as we get the final hour of the show started, as we roll through till 4. Blitz takes you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5. And Barry.
Yes, Joel.
And Nick, I want to throw this your way because there were a couple other moves. The trade deadline in the NFL is tomorrow, 3 o'clock Houston time. We obviously know with J.J. out and with the secondary depleted, there are moves to be made if there's some way to bring something to the table other than a bowl of soup for Bill O'Brien, that maybe they can get some teams that are kind of starting over to make a deal. But before the deadline, some moves were made today. the Dolphins, who continue to try and be as bad as humanly possible.
Yes.
Made a move.
We're not
that
tanking.
Was very much expected as Kenyon Drake was traded from the Dolphins to the Cardinals. He was held back from traveling because everybody said basically this weekend, that means he's traded because he's a healthy scratch.
Right.
So he was traded. But here's the other one that was interesting to me. The Jets and the Giants made a trade, by the way, the first time ever the two New York teams made a swap. But one of the former top first round picks in the league just a few years ago, Leonard Williams, the defensive lineman of the Jets, was traded to the Giants. And in return, the Jets got a third round pick in 2020 and a fifth round pick in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, the Jets got from the Giants for a kind of underachieving young defensive lineman, basically what the Texans got for Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh.
How'd that work out?
That's not good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, way to pick the scab.
Jeez. And when you look at it closer, I, for all that we pick on with the Texans, thank God they're not the Jets. Based on this move now in trading Williams, who was the sixth overall pick in 2015, every single draft pick from their 2015 draft is no longer a Jet.
Yeesh.
That's a bad look. And then when you look at
their
top
picks, Texans-ish, though.
Completely right, but maybe not as bad as Rick Smith and company.
Right.
But then when you look at just from a perspective of their first round picks over the last several years, and you start to add them up and stack them and rack them and look where everybody ended up, they essentially have either traded or cut all of their top picks from the last 6 to 7 years.
Damn.
That makes Rick Smith look like a genius, and Bill O'Brien, for that matter.
It kind of does.
It's crazy that the Jets, and you know, and obviously we know Jake Asman is a huge Jets fan here internally, but when you look at that and just some of the overall screw-ups that the Jets have made, you're like, it doesn't make you feel as bad about the Texans sometimes. You have misery loves company, and you have that. I know. I'm trying. I mean,
I was looking at some of the standings in the in the NFL.
Yep.
And don't look now, but the old AFC South making a move on the NFC North, buddy.
Look, if the worst team in the division in the North is 3-3-1.
No, the worst team in the division is 3-4. That's your Chicago Bears.
Oh, that's right. The Bears.
Yeah, the worst team in the AFC South, 4-4. Everybody at least 500 or better.
There's hope. We'll keep hope alive.
Everybody at least 500 better, or better. Now, there's no 7-1 team. But there is a...
Or a 6-2.
There's a 5-2 and a 5-3.
Okay.
And 2 4-4s. And for my money, that's better than... Plus, there's no wax teams tying out there.
They don't crown
like
champions
men.
In
like
after
men.
Week
We're out
eight.
There winning and losing like men do. Not tying.
So,
like
how did that whole...
Lions do.
How did that whole second bet we made with the Packers having a better record than the Texans look to you?
I don't remember that bet. You remember that bet?
Yeah, I think we got Nicholas? That audio somewhere, Nick, and it's easily accessible.
Nicholas, do you remember that bet? I don't remember that bet.
Which bet exactly?
When Barry said the bet. Texans would have a better record than the Packers, and I made that bet as well.
I don't remember that bet at all. Do you remember that bet?
I certainly do.
I don't remember much.
Yeah, I know.
Who do I want to be mean more today? I don't even really... Okay, I'll just say I don't remember.
Yeah, thanks.
You're an idiot.
I've got stuff to do.
See, that's what look.
You're a dumbass and an idiot. Now I'm mad at you, literally.
Never happened.
You're trying to get a refund on your Shaq Bag subscription?
I know. I still got to. No, like, I still got to subscribe.
I've already plowed through all the months. I need my money back now.
No, there's no intern.
Oh,
I hate it when that happens.
So you're doing the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
It's no fun.
Right now you got to actually work. Gosh, sorry about that.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate working. Act like this is my job.
Do you want to take Clarence's call?
Sure.
Clarence wants to talk Texans. I bet he doesn't, but it's what it says. Clarence, what's up, buddy?
See, always fit in and you're always wrong. I do want to talk Texans.
All right, well,
what's
up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
All right, you said that you couldn't find anything to trade. Why don't they put Kiki QT on the market?
Who would
they
want him?
Painfully, someone who needs at least a wide receiver. I mean, I know he's always injured, but...
I was going to say, for one game?
They made it painfully obvious that they weren't using him. Even the announcers yesterday... We're calling out, they're not using him. He's just on the sideline, just waiting to get in there. They're not putting him in. Why don't you at least try to put it out there, trade him? You're looking for a defensive back and see.
Clarence, your phone sucks. We got the gist of the call. Sorry, buddy, but you were cutting out real bad.
Did you not see how good his moves were that they highlighted on the broadcast yesterday?
Here's the problem with that is what
QT? They highlighted the fact that he was so savvy with his moves yesterday that he actually moved down the sidelines with the offensive coordinator, hoping that he would get in eyesight so he could get in the game, because they highlighted the fact that not only did he not have a ball thrown to him, he basically hadn't even touched the field.
Well, that's because did you hear what they said about him, that Deshaun Watson actually said? Is that he's been too inconsistent thus far. And if you are inconsistent, you're not going to get the kind of playing time. But the problem is that he's your backup plan. I mean, now they've started using the tight ends, thank goodness. But, I mean, actually, DeAndre Carter had a catch, a really good catch, too. He had a good, nice little route that he ran, 46 yards for the one catch that he had, three targets. But QT is supposed to be your Will Fuller backup when Fuller gets hurt, and Fuller's your backup when QT gets hurt. But Stills is supposedly the guy that was your Fuller insurance because QT was inconsistent. The problem is two of your four guys in your wide receiving rotation are injury prone. So I don't know that you go and you have the luxury of trading any of those four guys, because you can't figure out who's going to be on the field. So no, I don't think that they look at trading QT, even though he's been, you know, on the field, he's still inconsistent, and that's, again,
but you know what they say, he's got potential, right?
Who would
want
that,
though? That's what people see. But potential is what gets general managers fired.
But yeah, who would want a guy that is labeled as inconsistent and can't stay on the field and stay healthy?
That's the biggest thing. No general manager is going to trade for a guy that's injury prone.
What it would be is,
you don't have the fountain of youth in your locker room that suddenly he's healthy.
If you were the Packers and were like, hey, we're looking to add some wide receiver help.
And they are.
You're not going to come to the Texans and say, we want Kiki Cutie. You're going to say, hey, Stills?
Stills is exactly right.
Let's figure something out. What do you want?
Now, what could be fun, and it's never going to be like the NBA trade
deadline.
And
the Texans aren't trading Stills because of the move they made. Already.
Right, and because QT and Fuller both can't stay healthy, you can't give him up. Because Stills can play in the slot, and he can play Fuller's position.
He's a burner. He can go across the middle. He makes big catches.
Yep.
But, I don't think you trade away your insurance unless they were like, well, we'll give you a two and another receiver and some defensive end help. Okay, well, bye.
We'll start replenishing everything you gave away.
Everything that you need.
You can save the day.
If you got a pick and a legitimate, you know,
younger
slot receiver or whatever. Who's playing the slot over there?
In Green Bay?
Yeah.
Well, there's a guy named Kevin King that they'd love to unload because he was a first-round pick.
Is it a bust?
It's actually the guy they traded for last week, just on another team.
Yeah,
it's Conley, only in Green Bay.
So why would you make that move if you're the Texans?
Because Bill O'Brien scouted him, just like he scouted Conley. And Gerrion Conley coming out was a Bill O'Brien guy. So if you want King, you can probably have him.
Well, if they threw in a second-round pick and then some defensive end help, that would
make
sense.
Green Bay is going to throw picks out there because they're going to try and go for it,
well,
too.
Well, at 7-1,
yeah,
this might be their last opportunity to make a Super Bowl run with Aaron Rodgers.
They're still pretty young around Rodgers. No. But, again, look at how long Brady's played.
Well, that's true.
And the other thing is they've got the picks to give away. But the cool thing for us is it's not the NBA trade deadline, but everything from I've heard from all the national guys is that a lot of quote-unquote fun things are going to happen between now and the deadline, that players you wouldn't think are even possibly going to be on the trading block could be moved, and there could be a lot of movement. I love that stuff. It's like the watching the waiver wire and the transaction wire when you're watching sports. I read it as a kid. I would
and
love to see a ton of movement.
Usually the NFL trade deadline is boring. It's never that active.
Don't sleep on – I said this a couple weeks ago. People looked at me crazy. Cam Newton may be on the move. I think there's going to be a lot of guys, like I said, that
I feel like you've had somebody telling you that,
or you have inside information. No. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying, look, they like what they've seen out of Kyle and they'd like to get out. They'd like
you
to get out from
first.
Under that contract.
Joel Blank says, sources say. So if you go ahead, Joel, what's your news?
You're a funny guy, Nick, but you know what? You're on Team Barry today, so let Team Barry give some breaking news.
I like it.
How about
breaking
that?
News, Joel Blank predicts, based on
the
sources
baby will
within
arrive
the NFL,
on Wednesday.
That would be 100%, right?
That's correct.
October 29th is the trade deadline, 4 p.m. Eastern time. So that's tomorrow at 4. So you're predicting there's going to be more movement?
I think there's going to be a lot of – I think there's – look, like we mentioned, a team like Denver now, they've completely hit the reset button. So Elway, before he gets fired, is going to try to save his ass. He's going to unload as many contracts as he can for draft picks. I think a lot of teams that thought that they were going to be in the mix – look, the Bears might do a lot of things. They could drastically try and trade for a quarterback, or they could just fold up their tents for this season and realize, hey – what everybody thought was true isn't because of our quarterback, but it's going to be insurmountable to catch the Vikings and the Packers.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It should be. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I mean, look at the guys that got traded. Emmanuel Sanders got traded from Denver and immediately made an impact on the Niners. And you know, the Niners could be looking to actually add a few more guys because they look for real with that defense, with Bosa.
When we come back, can we talk some college football?
Absolutely. Not that I want to, but of course I can. We absolutely
can. Shake up in the top of the rankings. We can talk that. We can talk what happened to Wisconsin.
Let's just talk about Oklahoma.
We can talk. Oh, boy.
And the fact that we finally got what we wanted, which is LSU Texas is now number one.
Yeah. About
which
time.
Which they deserve.
About
exactly time. Right. We've been saying that.
That's all
right,
what I was trying to tease, but I'm glad you just gave it away before the break, so that's cool.
Professional radio returns in just a few minutes right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7, all on ESPN 97.5. Want to let you guys know that world-renowned Beatles expert Howard Goodell is coming to Houston to share his insights into the creative genius that is and was the Beatles. The one-of-a-kind event will take place Monday, December the 16th at the beautiful George Theater, thanks to St. Luke's Music with friends Jaguar Houston Central, Land Rover Houston Central, and Momentum Mini. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and include light bites, both before and after Goodall's presentation, plus a Q&A with our very own Ken Hoffman, who happens to be Houston's biggest Beatles fan. It's an exceptional, rare opportunity. The first time Goodall has given his presentation on the Beatles in the United States. Tickets are now on sale. All you got to do is go to sportsmap.com, and while you're there, check out Barry's fantastic video comparing Houston and D.C., in terms of the World Series and reasons to root for one or the other. It was very funny. And just, you know, just search me on Sports Map, and it's basically two videos and an article weekly.
Yeah, you really put in the work on Sports Map.
Last week I couldn't because I put a whole lot of work into trying to save my leg, but I think I'll be back full speed this week.
Nice. Yeah I got to give a shout-out to Brandon Strange and everybody over there that does the videos, because they do that video, like Sun Tran and Chris Rogers and Canise are, you know, writers for the BS segment on the Houston Sports Show, and they do great work, and they helped me put together some ideas and so forth for the video. But the whole video is made by the editing, and we have just some of the best in the biz doing it over there
on the TV show, or here.
That was our Sports Map crew doing that
for sure. Yeah, Sports Map crew is top notch.
Yeah, are you implying something?
No, I watch the. I want the BS segment to shine always, and I want the show to do well. And sometimes
I feel like you're implying something.
And sometimes
shots at people.
No, I'm just saying I want to make sure you get the top notch. Everything you get is top notch over there, including the production.
Hey, who's that? The producer is it Maggie, that TV producer that you've worked with before, Barry? Maggie.
McKeithen,
from Channel 26?
Yeah.
She posted a video of Julia and her friend, but the uncensored version. I've never seen it. It's pretty interesting.
The uncensored version.
Like the live broadcast, because obviously the live broadcast was uncensored because nobody knew they were going to do that.
Right.
So she published the uncensored version of it on her Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't see it, obviously.
Is it better?
Obviously.
No, that's the one I saw.
I didn't see it. I'm just saying I didn't see it. You may have seen it. I'm just saying
I didn't see it. No, I got tagged on that video like 50 times.
I just saw it now.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see the uncensored version.
That's top notch.
Interesting.
That's a high quality H2O.
Just leave it at that. Some high-quality H2O. So let's talk college football.
Okay, let's talk college football.
Oklahoma takes it in the shorts.
Boy, a lot of people took it in the shorts, didn't
they? Wisconsin, I already told you, already took it in the shorts to Illinois, and I didn't expect them to beat Ohio State. So that – and actually, it was a close game. I mean, third quarter, Badgers not only stop them on the first drive, they go down and score. It's 10-7. I'm like, okay. So, three-point game, that's all you can ask for. And then, you know, the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
And everything happened that I expected. Offensively, they couldn't move the football, and their defense was bend, don't break until it broke wide open.
I didn't watch any college football this weekend, but we were walking somewhere, and it was after our show Saturday. And when we were walking to the Barleycorn, and one of the guys we were with, Dev, was like, "Hey man, did you see that OU? Because you know this couple that came up there." He was like, "Yeah, you know, he's from Oklahoma City. I guess he's a big OU fan." He goes, "Oh, they just got beat by Kansas State." I was like, "Wow!" I didn't watch the game, but I can't imagine. Was it like last second? Were they in control for most of the game?
No, they were playing
was
from behind for most of the game. Yeah, and Oklahoma really
made it close.
They put the pedal down and they did make it close, but they couldn't get completely back over the top, and they got caught. And now, because of the schedule, because of the Big 12, because of everything, that's a huge blow to them because they don't have the luxury of being in an SEC where you can make up for it with a couple of big wins against other teams highly, highly ranked. And they've already played Texas. So that
hurts
them. They
got Baylor. That's it. The last
Notre Dame
team
is completely done after they lost to Michigan. Oh, and they lost.
We were both
handily.
Wrong on that, weren't we?
Yeah. Oof. They got their ass handed to them.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Texas getting beat by TCU was ugly. That doesn't help.
Nope.
A lot of upsets. You know, look, I talk trash about the schedule not being good. Then we got a couple of weeks of some good games. Then you got some upsets taking place. Oklahoma State being Iowa State and more big, a lot of Big 12 upsets.
Don't look
upsets.
Now, but Penn State keeps winning too, so they're I think at 5 this week. So they are the secondary choice in the Big 10 behind Ohio State. So you got two teams there. You got everybody in the SEC fighting to get in. Clemson doesn't play anybody anymore, so you would expect that they're just going to walk into the playoff as long as they don't have another hiccup like
right. The
Carolina game, only this time they lose.
Right. I mean, you got at this point it's I don't know that you're going to get two teams in from the SEC or the Big Ten, but like you said, you've got LSU leapfrog Bama, and rightfully so. They beat Auburn. We talked about it. As long as if both teams won, I feel like LSU had to be number one because it would be another top 10 opponent and another win. And it didn't matter if it looked good. It didn't matter if it was dominant or close. To me, it didn't matter. You beat number 9 Auburn.
Right.
That's good enough for me. They should have been number one. And I feel like still they should have been number one a couple weeks ago. But they got it right. LSU number one, Bama two, Ohio State stays at number 3, Clemson stays at number 4. Then a lot of folks start moving up because Oklahoma and Auburn and Notre Dame and you know, all of them had some pretty big losses. So Notre Dame fell 8 spots.
And I think deservedly so.
Yeah, as bad as it looked. But your top 5 is rounded out with Penn State. Moving up, then Florida at 6, Oregon at 7. Oregon might be a team
people sleeping
on. They almost
lost again this last weekend.
Did they?
Yep.
Georgia at 8, Utah at 9, and then OU falls 5 spots to number 10. So
I think – I really do. I think, especially if it's a close game in 2 weeks between LSU and Alabama, I just think chances are likely that of 5 through 10, most of those teams are going to have slip-ups. And I think that you're going to have Clemson, 2 SEC schools – and the Big Ten champion. I think that's going to be your Final Four.
Do you? It's going to be difficult now for the Big 12 to get anybody.
It really is.
Pac-12, Oregon, if they, I mean, they're sitting at 7-1,
so
but
vulnerable.
They keep climbing, though. They moved up 4 more spots.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got Florida sitting there at 6, and that's interesting, too, because you got Bama and LSU, and they both of them can't play in the SEC championship.
Right.
It looks like they're either going to play Florida or Georgia.
Have you watched Florida play?
I've watched a couple games.
I think their defense is really good.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
Offensively, it's like they're doing it with smoke and mirrors in my mind. I know their second quarterback.
It's like old school SEC football.
It really is. Yeah. And it's like, oh, God, I don't know if it's just because it's painful to watch, but their offense doesn't impress me at all. Their defense has to keep them in game.
And I don't think you're going to get a blowout between LSU and Alabama. I think that's going to be.
I think you're right.
I don't think that's going to be a blowout. Well, it's probably a. It could be 24-21,
21-17. The only way conceivably you get a blowout is if Tua's just not right.
Well, that's true.
You know,
if he doesn't come back
and
play.
He had surgery for
that's a good point.
I don't know if he can bounce back to be what they need him to be in a game that big of that magnitude.
Yeah.
But that's the only way I can see it getting out of hand.
Yeah. But then, you know, look, if one of those teams doesn't, if neither of those teams, you know, gets blown out, then I think that you probably move whoever loses down a couple spots. You move Ohio State and Clemson up. But then if something happens at the top of the SEC, it gets crazy again, because then if, let's say it's LSU that wins, Bama falls to 5, right? Just for the short term. What if then LSU drops one down the stretch? Bama wins out. Now you're looking at who's going to represent who in the SEC championship game. It could get crazy again, as much as they try
it
to avoid
that.
That's
why I think
it seems like it's always the SEC causing the madness.
That's why I think, I'm not saying it's definitively going to be Alabama and LSU, but I really believe you're going to have two SEC schools. You're going to have the Big Ten champion. You're going to have Clemson, the ACC champion. There's your four. Because I just think, based on what's happened so far with the team slipping up and with conference schedules being as watered down as they are in every other conference but the SEC, I think that's how it's going to shape up.
You look at, I'm guessing it's first place votes is what they usually put in the parentheses.
Mm-hmm.
LSU had 17 first place votes. Bama had 21 first place votes. Ohio State got 17 first place votes. They had as many as LSU.
They are talented.
That doesn't make sense to me, though. LSU has beat 3 top 10 teams.
Yeah, I don't think Fields can throw it and sling it like Burrow can. But when you look at it, they are extremely talented. And I did go off on Ohio State fan this weekend because I got tired of people trying to like send me private messages and stuff and bag on the Badgers. And I finally just went off and said,
sensitive about it.
No, I just said, look, bottom line, because I called exactly what was going to happen. I told you guys, they're going to try and ball control, run with Taylor. Their defense is really good. They're going to hang in there. But overall, Ohio State's offense is going to end up winning out and overwhelming them at some point. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, the main thing I said, which to shut them up, was act like you've been there before, because you have been. And every year you're in consideration for that Final Four. The Badgers are not. They've overachieved for, dare I say, 15 years. They don't get any five. Literally, I'm not kidding
you. Is it overachieving if it's 15 years?
But they've won some, again, they've won some Big Ten titles. They've done some things that no one thought they would do. But along the way, when I tell you, and I'm not making this up, they have never gotten a 5-star recruit to play at Wisconsin, and yet they're relevant. So you're happy that they're there, and you hope they do their best. Ohio State, if they're not fighting for every 5-star recruit with Alabama and some of the other teams in the nation, then something's wrong. Yeah.
But by the way, what I meant by is it overachieving is they're just good. They're not overachieving. Yeah. Wisconsin's good. That's what I meant. I wasn't.
No, but I get it. It's kind of like you with your eggs and me with my Badgers. Look, you're happy that early in the year they're in the top 5, top 10. But you know, at some point, they're going to come tumbling down.
Well, we're going to find out what OSU really is, because they play Penn State November 23rd. And that'll be a matchup of 2 top 5 teams.
Is that at Happy Valley or is that at the Shoe?
That is in Ohio State.
See, they catch the year where they get everybody at home.
But, I mean, I don't know why they're getting as many first place votes as LSU. They're ranked opponents, Michigan State and Wisconsin, 13 and 25. LSU has beat 3.
Yep.
Count them, 3 top 10 teams at the time they beat them.
And you know you're preaching to the choir. We both said LSU already should have been number 1.
They are literally the best football. They are the best college football team in the country right now. And I don't know why anybody would vote for anybody else. It doesn't make sense.
Absolutely spot on. So we got one segment to go. We're going to put a bow on it next. Wrap it up. Take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Keep it tuned right here. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, final segment of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. We appreciate you being suspects and taking us along for the ride wherever you may be. We always tell you at some point during the show, if you missed anything, go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab at the top of the page where it says Usual Suspects, and you can catch up on the hours you missed while you're there. There's also instructions at the front of on the front page to show you how to download the app. Then you take us anywhere, everywhere, and you never miss another show.
Yeah, you can go listen to our interview with Julia Rose, who, if you were wondering, because some of you were asking still, yes, we saw the chicks show their boobies last night, and we had one of them on the show at 2:15. So go back to the podcast, podcastarena.com, get the app, the podcasts are there. But, yeah, you can go to 2 o'clock hour and listened to our interview with her, and she was awesome. So it was a good time.
Yep, no doubt about it. I know that it's frowned upon a lot of times by a lot of people, including you, to talk basketball this early in the season.
I'm out.
But the Rockets did get their first win of the season by 3 on Saturday night. Westbrook, first triple-double, but he showed that, again, he still got it. Harden's still trying to find it. Nick, you were there. But whether you're a big basketball fan or not, what I'm really curious about is tonight's game, simply because, one, it's better to watch than the Dolphins and the Steelers, but it's Chris Paul returning to the to the Toyota
Center. That's going
to
be big.
I just want to see from the reactions. I'm definitely going to check in with my buddies because I want to know, like, pregame, is he going to go down the hall? And he's going, because a lot of guys, they get moved. They love it here so much that they go down and they, you know, shoot the crap with the guys in the locker room and see all the guys behind the scenes. I'm real interested to see how it all goes down. And then once the game starts, because we know Chris likes to talk. And obviously there's a lot of, like we always say, the truth is somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. But there's been a lot about how Chris used to always say, leave Harden there. Leave him there when he had it going, when he was. I'm interested to see if there's a little smack talking going on, because let's not forget, too, that when Westbrook was with the Thunder and they had a playoff matchup, there was some, there's plenty of words exchanged, too. But I would like to see it get a little chippy tonight.
You would? You
I'd like
see
to see
fight?
How it's going
to
go down. I'm not saying I want a full-blown fight, but I want to see some guys talking back it up. I want to see what James does, quite honestly.
Oh, yeah? I want to like see how, James how has, he reacts to it?
Yeah, I
want to
see if James is looking for help or if James is actually going to go back at Chris, if Chris would go at him.
You know that's not going to happen.
That's probably right.
You know that is absolutely not going to happen.
I think you're probably right.
By the way, somebody texting about the new LSU commit, DeColdis
everybody is, yeah.
Crawford. His middle name is To Ever Do It. They want to know, do we talk about it? I refuse to.
It hasn't been confirmed that that's his last name, but
or his middle name?
I mean, his middle name, but it is DeColdis Crawford.
And I refuse to comment.
Okay.
Which I think will speak volumes about what I think about it.
But, yeah, that is one of the top three we should have talked about it, or did y'all talk about it today?
Yeah, it was the guy holding – yeah, no, guys, we basically live under rocks. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we didn't know that chicks showed their boobs at the game. We didn't know that the guy had two beers in his hands and took a ball off the chest.
Whoa.
Ball.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was thinking about Nick. My bad. We didn't.
You pick him over me, Nick. See? Okay, that's on you.
What's great is that Nick didn't get upset that I was making fun of him. He was like, did I need to dump you on that? Was that a bad word? He didn't care that I was making fun of him. He's just like, oh, do I need to dump you? No? Okay, cool. Yeah, just go ahead.
He admitted he takes balls to the chest.
No,
he just didn't want to say a cuss
way
word.
Way to take it too far,
yeah,
Joel.
Get him, Nick. Because he came at me today. So go ahead.
And then, yeah, like we didn't know about the coldest to ever do it. Like we get it. We follow it. Sometimes we just choose not to talk about this stuff. Or you tune in too late like a jerk and miss it. So.
Just I brought up the NBA, too, because everybody's been trying to see, because at two games in, and Nick brought up a good barometer of 20 games to see what this Rockets team really is. But the latest edition of whatever you call it, with I mean, and KD and everybody. And they asked Kevin, and he's going to be on ESPN. I think that's debuting Wednesday when he talks about a bunch of stuff. But before then, KD did a podcast, and he talked about his two former teammates, Westbrook, Harden, and how he sees it going down in Houston this year.
What was your reaction when you actually seen that Russell was going to play with James?
I seen OKC from the beginning, and then like, and I never would expected anybody to leave. You know what I'm saying? And now to see all of us, you know, gone, and now Russ and James on the same team, and like, it's cool for them because they reunited, and they're gonna have some new energy and new life around the team. And as a me sitting out and as a fan now, I can look at it from a fan perspective. Like, I'm really excited to see how those two work because I don't know. You know, it's like. To be real, like if like different players, I probably can see how they can fit together. Yeah. Like those two, I don't see exactly how it's going to work yet, but I know it's going to be like spectacular. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I can't understand it from a basketball standpoint right now.
Yeah,
but like I know they're going to figure it out and work it out because those two are the most talented players in the league, like we ever seen in the league.
So it's interesting.
Oh, I thought you were bumping out. I was like, what?
Yeah,
what the hell is going on?
So a couple people, you know, a lot of Rockets fans are going to be like, oh, he's hating on it. And you know, what he's saying is he can't envision how it's going to work from his standpoint right now, but he knows there's enough talent.
Yeah.
And hopefully they figure it out.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it does. You know, again, tonight, Oklahoma City surprising people. Here's the other thing. At least you're not the Warriors.
Yeah, it could be worse.
We were tagged yesterday at halftime. They were down, I think it was 80-37. At half. And Draymond did not mince words after the game. He said they effing suck right now. But and the big thing is they're not playing Draymond, D.
And it has nothing to do with how y'all play on the court. Right? No? Okay.
Compliments of Barry Laminick.
Barry, if I send you guys lunch, will Nick dance to Taylor Swift on the stream?
Nick?
We're waiting. Nicholas, are you? Oh, he can't even hear us. He doesn't have his headphones on. He's not even paying attention. Damn it! He's over there.
I heard dance to Taylor Swift. I was like, negative.
Someone texted and said, Barry, if I send you guys lunch, will Nicholas dance to Taylor Swift on the stream?
No.
Will you take one for the team so we can all eat lunch for free?
I'll buy you lunch and you don't have to worry about that.
Oh.
Done.
I like that too.
Well, there you go. That works.
So let me get this straight. You refuse to talk about DeColdis Crawford, but boppers flashing their boobs is cool. Yeah, that's pretty much how that worked. Good. I'm glad you figured that out. Yeah, that's great.
At least the suspects are getting deductive reasoning out of their education every day, 1 to 4.
That's exactly what that was.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Good job.
So you're going to watch football because you're anti-basketball at this point?
You know what? I probably will watch my first Rocket game of the year tonight because I'm like you. I'm intrigued to see if there's any beef between Chris and James and how that's handled and Russ and it's OKC and is he going to have beef? Because remember how Pat Beverly was when they played the Rockets.
Yep.
So I'm interested to see that dynamic more so than I am about basketball on October 28th.
Nick, you're going, right?
I am. I'm going straight after the show.
So, Barry, what do you want Nick to ask Chris Paul? Do you want him to just go up and say, Chris, I mean, are you offended by everybody basically portraying you as James's bitch?
Well, yeah. Yeah, just ask that.
Wouldn't that work?
Yeah. That would be, I won't lose anything if I do that. I won't get in trouble. I won't get an email. I won't get a call.
You think Tracy's going to run after you down the hall?
Would you ask him a question? Is that something? Or no? You're just
I've asked Chris Paul a question before.
Was he cool about it or was he short with you?
Well, he was on the Rockets.
What? I didn't even mean that.
He was on the Rockets at the time, so he wouldn't get be mad at Nick.
Nah.
Are you going to maybe ask him something like, so after being back and you know watching this team excel like they did on the court tonight, do you still wish you were here?
I would never ask that.
I am never curious if someone pushes the envelope tonight in the Houston media.
He's going to be asked on both sides, I feel like.
They're going to try and get him pregame, but definitely pre and then postgame.
Ooh, pregame someone's would be the best.
Someone's going to push the envelope with him a little bit, I feel.
How much hate is in your heart right now? Ask him that pregame.
How much do you regret forcing the trade to the Rockets?
If James gets physical, would you fight him on the court? See, these are all great pregame questions.
I wish I could write one of these questions down, give it to somebody, and then have them read it without screening it, kind of like Barry does with text.
Yes,
and then right when they're done reading the question and they realize they should have never asked it.
Like Ron Burgundy with a teleprompter and just like, why do you hate James Harden so much and why are you so short? What?
Because we know that there are probably four people that will only say, how do you feel, how bad do you feel being a failure when you didn't live up to what James expected from you because James is a god?
Let me tell you how it's going to go down because it's Houston media and most of us are pretty soft when it comes to asking questions. What does it feel like to be back in Houston? That's going to be the kind of question that he gets.
But if there's four people that are going to completely say how things about how great James was and how you let him down, or they're going to be like that because
no way.
Oh my God, Nick, you know it. There are four people that will not say anything. They will not put down James in any way, and they'll try and blame Chris.
No way that they say you let James down. No way they say that to Chris
Paul's
face.
I don't think they'll say it that way. Not to his face, but yeah.
They might write about it, but they're definitely not saying that to his face. It's going to be like, well, what's it like to be back? Is there any animosity? That'll be about as deep as they get. I guarantee you. Our players that play in this town are lucky that our media doesn't go after
nobody
them
wants
like other towns.
The DuBosius distinction of being the person that asked that question. I'm just telling you.
On that note, I'm out.
Catch Barry and I on our chats after Rockets and Astros games on any blog that you choose. Before we do that, I do want to say we appreciate you listening each and every day, including a Monday in the big city right here on The Usual Suspects.